audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Tonight we'll be talking about the street preacher in Australia who was set on fire. But don't worry, he forgave his attacker. You know, that reminds me of that, remember that story about 4 years ago? ACLU defends Nazis' right to burn down ACLU headquarters. Remember that story? Now, I'm not sure if that was a true story, but it was a story. And it got widespread circulation. But that's what the street preacher account reminds me of. Maybe, I wonder if, hey, is our producer back there behind the, yeah, back there. Tell the people in the studio audience to get my producer in here. Ask him to look up that story where the ACLU defended the protesters' right to burn down ACLU headquarters and see if you could get that in here for me. That'll be funny. Also, the true story behind the California Republican primary for governor. Why the frontrunner lost. Remember Richard Riordan? Richard Riordan, the Republican-supported frontrunner, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, why he lost the primary. That's why we say that this show has the brightest audience in the country. You'll get the real story. And then also the Boy Scouts. We've got the Boy Scouts stating very firmly that they are not going to give in. They're not going to cave in on their policy against homosexuality in the Boy Scouts. And it's costing them dearly, millions of dollars, but they're standing firm. Wouldn't it have been great if the Republican Party had stood firm? The leading Republican, conservative, Christian politicians. Wouldn't it be great if the Republicans had stood firm against homosexuality instead of caving and tolerating and remaining silent? What do you need for evil to succeed other than for good men to do nothing? And homosexuality in this country pretty much has an open road. They can go as fast as they want down the highway as far as the Republican Party is concerned. Okay, now let's get to these news stories. And our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right, this is out of Brisbane, Australia. This month, a street preacher was set on fire and he forgives his attacker. That's the headline. A Brisbane, Australia street preacher doused with fuel and set on fire has forgiven his attacker. Pastor Paul Sheehan, he's a 50-year-old guy. He preaches the gospel on a street corner in Brisbane's south side. And then a man apparently took exception to his fire and brimstone sermon. He threw the preacher through a shop window, and then the preacher's pulling himself out of the glass of the window, and the attacker returned, doused him with lighter fluid, and set him on fire. And Pastor Sheehan said, "I forgive him for what he's done, because the Lord forgives me." So, now Pastor Sheehan, he forgave the guy. So on Judgment Day, when Jesus asks us to, when he delegates to us the judgment of the world, remember that in the Bible that Paul said in Corinthians, "Do you not know that you saints, you Christians, that we believers will judge the world? Do you not know that we will judge angels?" In many places through the Bible, we find out that God commits judgment on Judgment Day into the hands of the saints. Like the men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment and condemn the generation that Christ lived with 2,000 years ago. And God, so do you not know that we will judge the world? So when it comes time for God to ask Pastor Sheehan, God wants the redeemed to judge the lost. That's one of the jobs he'll give us. After this life is over for us, we're not going to stop working. We got a lot of work to do and a lot of creative things to do in heaven for all eternity. Well, one of our first jobs will be to judge. And so how is Pastor going to fulfill the Lord's call on him to judge this guy when he's already forgiven him. And you know what message the pastor has sent to this? This guy's committed attempted murder. That's what he should be charged with. And maybe arson, for that matter, and assault. The message the pastor is sending to this guy is repentance is unnecessary. Repentance is superfluous. You don't have to repent because, just like the governor of Minnesota said, who is that governor of Minnesota? Jesse the Bod Ventura. When he insulted Christians, he said we're all basically morons. And it caused a bit of a furor in the press. And so he was asked, well, are you going to apologize? And he said, why do I have to apologize? Christians forgive everyone anyway. And that's the message we send, that no one needs to repent because we forgive everyone. And if we're Christians, we're like Christ, then obviously we tell the world that Christ will forgive them too. After all, he's only a God of love. And we accidentally tell the world that they don't need to repent. They'll automatically be forgiven because that's what we do. When Jesus said, if a man sins against you, what did he say? Luke 17, look at that. Somebody in the studio audience just said, forgive him. He didn't say, if a man sins against you, forgive him. He said, if a man sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. That's what Jesus said. And I know it was Jesus because the words are in red. He said, if he repents, forgive him. Now, how about the Christian who was killed in the plane that crashed into the Pentagon and he's now up in heaven? Does he forgive Osama bin Laden? Now that he's in heaven, he no longer has the flesh holding down his thoughts. He no longer has not a hint of self-righteousness. He sees the Lord. He sees things clearly. And the book of Revelation tells us the Christian who died in the plane that crashed into the Pentagon, what is his attitude toward the terrorist who conspired to kill him? Well, we find out in Revelation. What is the verse? Revelation 6:10? I better do a warning. Warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, their Bible verse is up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, we have believers who were slain. They were martyred for the testimony that they held. And they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Now, come on, why didn't they forgive Osama bin Laden? They're calling out for vengeance, for blood, and they're in heaven? That's because they're with God.
Hello, my name is Jason Troyer, and I do volunteer work here at Bob and Yurt Live, including the commercials you hear every night. I moved to Colorado from Indiana almost 3 years ago to help Bob and his ministry because they changed my life. I'd like to invite you to benefit from this ministry as well. Easter is just around the corner, and despite what you may have heard, Easter is not about cute fuzzy bunnies or colored eggs. Easter is the day our Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead, just as he said he would. On Easter Sunday, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, will not only talk about the resurrection, he will also present the evidence for the resurrection. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day is not a myth or a fable, it's a fact. If you live in the Denver area, whether you're a Christian or just have questions, we want to invite you and your family to join us March 31st at 10:50 for this special sermon. You'll also have the opportunity to not only meet Bob, but also Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob Friday nights, Tony Funderburk, who sings the opening theme to Bob and Yurt Live, and even little old me. For directions to the church, call us at 303-463-1707 or go on the web to denverbiblechurch.org and look at our map. For those who don't live in Colorado or can't make it, We'll also make audio cassettes of the Easter sermon, as we do with all sermons, so you won't miss out on this great evangelistic tool. For those of you who have never ordered from Bob Enyart Live, we'll even make this tape available free of charge. Call today to reserve your copy, 1-888-836-9278.
All right, we're back. Bob Enyart Live, 1-888-836-9278. So that story, the street preacher forgave his attacker. Remember Jesus in John 20? I already give the warning, so I could just say this. Jesus in John chapter 20 breathed on the disciples, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's a pretty neat thing. And the very next thing he said was, "Who's ever sieve, they are forgiven them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Well, Lord, what are you talking about? Nobody's allowed to retain anyone's sins. We got to forgive everyone in every circumstance, whether they repent or not. It's mandated. It's mandated by the Christian cliches that are believed worldwide. It doesn't matter how many verses in the Bible show you otherwise. It doesn't matter if Jesus said, "If he repents, forgive him." All that is irrelevant because the Christian cliche says forgive everyone at every moment, at every time. Tell the world that repentance is superfluous. For the public school teachers tuning in right now, superfluous, that means it's unnecessary. The word has other meanings also, but that's good enough for here. All right, so the preacher forgave the man who set him on fire, and obviously before the guy repented. And that, thank you. Look at this. What a crack crew we have here. What a producer. He's got me the story. Out of Dateline, New York. This is from 5 years ago. ACLU defends Nazis' right to burn down ACLU headquarters. This is about as stupid as what we Christians do. At a press conference Monday, American Civil Liberties Union officials announced that the organization will go to court to defend a neo-Nazi's group to defend a neo-Nazi group's right to burn down ACLU headquarters. ACLU president Nadine Strossen told reporters that her organization intends to vigorously and passionately defend the Georgia chapter of the American Nazi Party's First Amendment right to freely express its hatred of the ACLU by setting its New York office ablaze on November 25th. "I am reminded of the words of Voltaire," she said. "I may disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." While the ACLU vehemently disagrees with the idea of Nazis torching this building, the principle of freedom of expression must be supported in all cases. If we take away these Nazis' right to burn down our headquarters, we take away everyone's right to burn down our headquarters. Oh, that's just so funny. Okay. So, are Christians commanded by God to forgive everyone at every moment, at every time, for everything? Well, if so, the Apostle Paul really, really blew it regarding Alexander the Coppersmith, I'll tell you that. Somebody should have told Paul about that cliche. Hey, let's go to Bristol, Indiana. Amy, speak your mind. Hi, Amy.
Evening.
I'm doing great. Please good. Speak up.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to give you a call and let you know, or let your listeners know, that there's hope for public schools, a little bit of hope anyways, for
all the
parents who aren't fortunate enough to be able to homeschool or Christian school their children.
All right. Tell me what's going on.
Well, a few weeks ago, I received a letter from brought home by my fifth grade daughter from the school nurse, and attached to it was a letter from the gentleman here in the area who does the sexual education portion of the health curriculum in the public school.
For the fifth graders.
To the fifth graders.
Yeah.
And he
how
went
old
into...
Are fifth, how old's a fifth grader?
Fifth graders are 10 and 11 years old.
10 and 11, great.
10 and 11.
Right.
He went into explaining, you know, that he's been doing this for 15 years, and it's a very vital part of the education of the children, and... he presents the facts, and he explains, you know, he explains as a group with the boys and girls, he explains about growing and maturing and that sort of thing, and then he separates them off and they get a little bit deeper into some of the sexual issues. Mm-hmm. And he was just basically letting everybody know that, hey, this is what we do, and if you have a problem, you know, let us know. So just so your listeners know that homes or public school parents are not helpless, I did write a letter to him and explain, you know, my views on the facts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That the presentation of facts alone has very rarely ever served to keep children from doing things that they should not do. And that while I appreciated his efforts, that without the moral grounding and without being able to present the moral aspect of it as well, all he was doing was basically equipping the children to experiment intelligently. So what I did was, in the letter, and I sent along the copies of paperwork, I checked with the Indiana State Department of Health and pulled up paperwork, pulled up statistics on the past 15 years.
To show that it was ineffective.
Right.
The kids, the students in the public schools are still getting pregnant. They're still getting sexually transmitted diseases.
Correct.
And all that.
Right.
So then what was the outcome?
The outcome, actually, the gentleman he's a really fantastic gentleman to talk to. He actually called me at home and left a message, a very lengthy message on my machine, explaining that he completely understood my views and agreed wholeheartedly, and wished that there were actually more people that would actually speak up, you know, in the public schools and say what they had to say, and let the public schools know. And that he wished that there were more parents that would provide that kind of moral education along with the facts.
So he canceled that part of the curriculum?
He did not cancel it. They're actually going forward with the curriculum, but as far as my request, you know, my daughter will not be a part of that. I had asked them to definitely get me the day or,
all right,
you know.
Amy, now let me ask you a few things. So as a public school parent, you did way more than almost any other parent in expressing your concern, trying to set this guy straight, protecting your daughter.
Right.
Right? And
right.
So, you know, praise God that you care so much about your daughter and you go to this effort. Now, 99.9% of the parents out there will not do that.
There's 99.9% of the parents out there don't know that they can.
Well, okay, but now let's talk about that for a little bit. Now, you've told your story. Let me tell you my side of a similar story. In Colorado, we have a state law that every public school needs an accountability committee made up of parents and people in the neighborhood. And every district needs an accountability committee for the district. So I was on, I'm Bob Enyart, before I was a talk show host or a pastor, I was on the District Accountability Committee, vice chair for Adams County in Denver area. Mm-hmm. And they started to introduce at the high school the condoms. They're giving condoms to the kids. And so parents were somewhat outraged. And I resigned with a three-page letter showing all the evidence that sex education and condoms in public schools increase sexual activity
significantly.
Mm-hmm. And I said, this is not going to decrease, it's going to increase. And so they couldn't care less, just like the guy you talked to. They might smile at you and nod their head, but they'll do what I ask,
but to change it for everybody, no.
No, not at all. So anyway, the school went ahead and I resigned. 3 years later, the Rocky Mountain News, that's our biggest newspaper out here, they reran my resignation letter, and they did it with the news story that said, one, does anybody remember the number of babies born? 100, I got to get this right. 100, now I'm going back a few years, Amy.
Uh-huh.
I think the number was, we got it on one of our Rational Inspires, on 114 babies born in 1 year at Adams City High School, the school that I was on the accountability committee for, a record. It was more than that. It was over 100 babies born in 1 year. And it had gone up 42% that year from the previous year. And so the condoms and the sex education and the in-school nursery for the kiddies who had kiddies, it all, of course, as we knew, would increase the sexual behavior of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so that's one part of the story. Now, part two. I had a call from a Christian mom from Parker, Colorado, a few years ago on the show. And she said, and she called in and she was in tears. And she said, Bob, we've been listening to your show for years about all the nightmare stories of what the public schools are doing to kids. Here it is. Adams City takes state title. 100 babies in one school year, a record. Adams City, 108. Gateway High School in Aurora, Colorado, 80 babies in 1 year. Isn't that astounding, Amy?
That's amazing.
108
That's
totally babies amazing. Born in one high school about 2,000 kids, in 1 year. So they took the state title that year, Adams City High did.
What a title to hold.
Yeah. So this Christian mom called in tears and said, Bob, for years I've heard you tell us how bad the public schools are. And what we decided to do with our oldest daughter, she had so many friends in school, we thought we'd let her stay in school. We took out our younger kids because our oldest daughter was such a strong Christian. She said, well, my daughter just moved out of our home and in with her lesbian girlfriend, our beautiful Christian daughter. And when the public schools have a 6 hour a day, 200 and some odd days a year onslaught of tempting your kids with the pleasures of immorality, and you hope that as they go through their teenage years, that they're going to abide by your influence and reject all the peer pressure and reject all the sexually immoral candy that the public schools dangle before their eyes, what kind of a gamble is that? So, Amy, your daughter might not get this sex ed, but all the boys in her class will.
Right.
And James Dobson has documented very clearly that when boys in public schools get sex ed classes, they become sex-crazed addicts.
I don't doubt it.
And in the weeks after the sex ed classes, more sex is had, even among young kids and kids who never had sex before. And in ninth grade, I remember one story he did. Ninth grade, a boyfriend and girlfriend in a sex ed class, and they're taught the different forms of birth control. They never had sex. They left the class that day. They hid in a private place, and they had unprotected sex right after school that very day. And so, Amy, I'm concerned about your daughter because the school's not going to always send home a note saying, tomorrow we're going to ruin your daughter's mind.
No, they're really not, and that's, you know, it's up to every parent to make sure that they're keeping track as much as possible as to what's going on in the school.
Yeah.
The school the school secretary, the school principal, the school teachers, all of them will tell you that I'm as much on it as possible.
And that's
no guarantee.
Amy, let me ask you a question. Let's go back 3,000 years ago, and you're living in the time of David. And God loved his people then just like he loves us today. And there's the nice Jewish, God-fearing family next door. And to educate their kids, every morning they put them on a Philistine school bus. They get on the Philistine school bus and they go off to a Philistine school and they get taught a godless pagan curriculum. What do you think God would do back when he was doing signs and wonders on a regular basis? What do you think God would do to a Jewish family who sent their kids to a Philistine school?
I have no idea.
Well, we've got to go to a break, but I think he would open up the earth and suck them down to hell. Is a commercial break, but this is a live spot. It's live, not pre-produced. I'm here right now. I'm just talking to Amy. In fact, I asked Amy to hang on so we could talk after the break. But we got so sick of the homosexual callers at the bottom of the hour, we decided to do live spots. We figure at least 99.999% of the audience was also sick of them. So here we go. Hey, we had Mormons at our church 2 weeks ago doing a Bible study, our Sunday night Bible study. We let two Mormons do it. And at Denver Bible Church, I normally teach the Bible study Sunday night, but we let the Mormons do it. Why would we do that? They're cultists. They believe in many gods. They believe God that they worship was once a man like them, and they believe that they can become gods and be worshipped, and that there's an unknown large number of gods out there. That's what the Mormon Church teaches. Why would we let these cultists take a half hour and teach the Book of Mormon? It was so that the next 90 minutes, we can grill them. And boy, did we grill them on both sides. Well done. That morning, the morning before the Mormons came over, I did the sermon on Mormons, Mormonism. And in 1.5 hours, we had it jam-packed, filled with powerful arguments against Mormonism. Very powerful, devastating arguments. One, for example, the Mormons believe American Indians are really Jews, that all American Indians are Jews. Now, that is an inane belief. It's absurd. It's absurd to the highest degree. But they believe it, and it's foundational. If it's not true, all of Mormonism is obviously a lie, which it obviously is. Well, they can prove to the world that all the world is wrong, all the historians are wrong, all the Christian churches are wrong, and only the Mormons and Joseph Smith were right, simply by DNA testing American Indians. Just DNA test them and show the markers, the genetic markers that show American Indians are Jews, just like is being done with other groups and other individuals. So if you'd like a copy of this sermon, you could get that and others. Call us 1-888-8-NYART, 1-888-8-NYART. I remember when the Christians were celebrating. They were just tickled pink because George Bush Sr. as president had fired the head of the NEA, the National Endowment of the Arts, because they were funding anti-Christian art. And the Christians were just ecstatic. And they figured, look at this, we're winning the culture war. And the same day he did that, when everybody was thrilled, it's almost as though he did it as a diversion, because that day he signed with a smile on his face funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting of $1 billion. Billion with the B. Billion dollars. By far the largest fundraising increase they had ever dreamed of getting. So the Christians were thrilled, though. We were thrown a bone, and our enemies were thrown a billion. What would you rather get, a bone? Because Frohnmeyer's just replaced by the next pervert, purveyor of perversion at the NEA. And whereas the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which despises Christians, promotes homosexuality and abortion and atheistic evolution and socialism and everything godless, they despise thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. They despise those commands of God. And so we get a bone, they get a billion, and we celebrate. We're thrilled. And I'm worried that Christian parents in the public schools, and Amy, I want to thank you for hanging on from Bristol, Indiana. Amy, I'm worried that when we get a bone, we celebrate as though it's a victory. And the bone is that this, I want to call him a jerk for what he does to kids, that this nice guy was polite to you in the conversation. That's the bone.
I wouldn't say necessarily that.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Amy.
I wouldn't say necessarily that I'm celebrating.
Yeah.
I'm celebrating the fact that the only celebration would be the fact that I was able to, you know, speak my mind and have somebody actually hear, whether they do something about it. You know, I could take this
right
further, but
we... You know, here in Denver, Amy, we had a couple that had a ministry attempting to get Christian parents at every board of education meeting. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
It sounds reasonable, but fairly ineffectual, I'm sure.
Right. That's what this couple, I said to them, I said, how many years have you been doing this? Oh, a number of years. Mm-hmm. How many meetings have you gotten people to? Oh, quite a few meetings. Is the school system better than it was back then or worse when you started? Well, quite a bit worse.
Yep.
And we know that in the beginning, because it's a godless education system. It's a godless institution, and godless institutions never, ever, ever, ever become godly. Individuals can repent and become godly, but institutions never do. Like Jesus said, you can't put old wine into new wineskins. I said it wrong. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. You can't get the gospel into the public school curriculum. So the public schools are going to continue to destroy our Christian kids in record numbers. And Amy, when you tell me that story, my heart just is crushed, because I can't get out of my mind the tears of that Christian mom telling me that her daughter in her senior year in high school moved in with her lesbian girlfriend. And she said, we lost our daughter, Bob, and only if we had listened.
There's a lot of things that, you know, public school parents can do for their children. There's very few things that public school parents can do for, you know, the public school system itself. If you're fortunate enough to be able to homeschool or Christian school your children, you're adding one step of insulation to your child's, you know, future.
Yeah.
However,
I can tell you people
that even having gone to a Christian school and homeschool, and that's no guarantee.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely not. Right.
People with the best parents will be in the position of having to, you know, send their children to public school for whatever reason.
Right. People with the best parents sometimes turn out sons of hell.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we want to set our kids up for failure. Like, what do you think is the success rate of Christian kids going through the public school system and not getting involved with sexual immorality?
It's very few and far between.
Yeah, and the Christian kids who end up experimenting with bisexuality or having abortions or losing their virginity by the time they're 15.
I can show you Christian school children.
Right, but
based in a godly education system.
Oh yeah,
that have the same problems.
Right, but like let's say homeschool kids, they're not set up to fail. In other words, the homeschool system isn't designed to destroy the kids. It's designed by God to build them up.
To build them in every area. Correct.
They have their free will, and they could. Now, Amy, tell me why, you know, many families have told me, and through Bob and Yart Live, we don't know the number, but we know it's many hundreds, if not a thousand or thousands, of kids are now homeschooled that used to go to public schools.
Right. Oh, yeah.
For all the years we were on TV in 80 cities, and it being a major issue. Why do you feel that that's not a possibility for your family?
Oh, it's definitely a possibility.
It
is something that is in the works, actually.
Praise the Lord.
Trying to head that direction. If not being able to homeschool, then definitely looking at a Christian school situation.
Wow.
One way or the other.
You know,
it's
our church,
a possibility.
Our Denver Bible Church is a public school free zone. Every family in our church, and we're growing. We were just planted by another Bible church in 2000. And so we're still young and growing, and we hope to reach 100 people soon. But at our church, we had families that had kids in the public school, and we took an interest in them and talked to the parents. And what do you think of, does your daughter get sexually harassed at school? Oh, boy, did we get an earful on that one. Do you think your daughter tells you all the worst things that happen at school? Because a lot of times kids don't want to get their parents upset.
Right.
Kids have a zillion reasons for not telling their parents the things they should. And public schools are an incubator for sexual harassment. and sexual activity. They incubate it. So, Amy, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask people in the audience to pray for you and your family that you guys could move on that. Because I can't get that other mother's voice out of my mind when I talk to you.
Well, I appreciate any prayers, that's for sure.
All right. Well, you have them. And I appreciate you telling that guy that his system doesn't work. But this is what I think of that guy, not knowing him.
Uh-huh.
But I've talked to plenty of people in his role.
Right.
This is what I think he is. I think he is a child sex advocate. I think that he has a philosophy that, well, they're going to do it anyway. So we might as well equip them. That's what I think he thinks. And on Judgment Day, we'll all find out exactly what he thinks, because every thought...
That would be the only way that we would know for sure.
Every thought will be shouted from the mountaintops. But I saw one district superintendent, when the parents were objecting, the parents objected strenuously to condoms being passed out, and they did it anyway. And then I was in a small meeting with the superintendent the next week, and he explained to this group of mostly educators, he said, and I'm on this district accountability committee, he said, we even give out condoms to the kids. And he was standing in front of the group of maybe 20 people. And when he said, we give out condoms to the kids, let me tell you his body language. He sort of leapt up onto his toes. He threw his hands in the air, and he smiled ear to ear. He said, we even give condoms to the kids. And that's what I call child sex advocates. I've seen it from the inside, and it makes me sick. And that guy couldn't see the wisdom and the warning that you gave him, that all this child sex education is increasing their sexual behavior. But he doesn't care. So, Amy, thank you.
Can I make just one more comment?
Do.
If I could, please.
Yeah.
I think it would be a great disservice to down anybody who does send their children to homes, to public schools.
Mm-hmm.
While that's, sometimes it's avoidable, sometimes you can get to a situation to where you can homeschool or Christian school.
Yeah.
There are parents who are stuck, for whatever reason, sending their children to a public school. Good Christian parents, good Christian families that need to know that although they are not in a Christian school, homeschool situation, they have options and they do have a little bit more control than what the public schools will tell them they have.
Well, there may be families like that, but I've never met one, Amy. All the families, and there have been countless families over the years that we've talked to, if they found out that their daughter was being raped at the school, she would never set foot in there again. So it really comes down to a matter of priorities. And when they realize the risk is that high, then they take the kids out. We'll be right back.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23. Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. and always easy to understand and clear-thinking Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Benyard to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
We're back. During the break, I talked to Amy and thanked her very much for calling in. You know, Amy, you could tell she loves the show. She loves me. And I said some difficult things to her. But when parents finally realize that their kids are being destroyed, that's when the kids don't set another foot in the schools. And so every family can do it. It's just a matter of priorities. If they thought that their child was being raped in the school, they wouldn't let him set foot back in. So it's priorities. Here, and the instant messages I'm getting from around the country during this segment. You know, here's one from, let's see, M. Amatuzo. We have friends who put their Christian homeschooled son in public high school. He had strong morals, but gave in to the seduction of the public school girls. And his girlfriend became pregnant. What a shame, huh? What a tragedy. Here's this one. This is from Kay Zimfer, 44. Christian children are not going to succumb to the temptations of public school? Sending a child to public school is like playing Russian roulette with their lives. Oh, brother, is that true? All right. Here's a thank you that we didn't run the homosexual voicemail messages. That cracks me up. Okay, real quick. We have the brightest audience in the country. And you guys out there, being aware of the news, you know that the California governor's race, the primary, Richard Riordan, that he was the front runner. The Republican Party supported him. Even though he's a flaming liberal, a pro-abort, pro-homo, the Republican Party supported him, which is pretty normal. Well, here's an email. And then he was derailed. And a nobody became the front runner and won the primary. And now he's the Republican candidate for governor in California. Well, here's the story behind the story from our brightest audience in the country. Back in January, several knucklehead conservatives at freerepublic.com were supporting Richard Riordan, the Republican-supported, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual front-runner in the California governor's race, Republican primary. So I compiled information about Riordan's positions on the issues and showed that he really was as liberal as Hillary Clinton. By the time I was done, no one at freerepublic.com was supporting Riordan anymore. I then sent the info that I compiled to every conservative talk show host, website, and columnist I can get an email for. And that's the inside story on how the California primary race turned around and Richard Riordan was defeated. Well, hopefully I had a little bit of impact anyway. Signed, KZ. That's just excellent. All right. Now, let's go to Napanee, Indiana. I've got the next story I'm going to do is about the Boy Scouts losing millions of dollars and their leadership saying we would rather give up the money than cave in on our policy against homosexuals in the Boy Scouts. They said the Boy Scouts are determined to maintain their standards. Boy, I like that. So let's go to Napanee, Indiana, 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. Daryl, speak your mind.
Hey, Hey, Bob, how you doing today?
Great, sir.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. The other night, I figured it was, I believe it was Saturday night.
Yeah.
I was flipping around the channels on TV. I know. I'm sorry. I'm watching network TV.
Oh, no, network
TV. I'm sorry.
TV.
I was really bored.
Ah.
And,
gross.
You know, yeah, Saturday night, I was flipping around. I believe it was CBS.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, it was like I was watching Queer as Folk on Showtime. It was the Matthew Shepard story.
Oh, brother.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, I have never been so disgusted in my entire life
with network TV. Matthew Shepard has been canonized by the media. Yeah. Obviously, he should not have been executed by two punks. And they should be executed, capital punishment, for the murder that they committed.
Mm-hmm.
But to canonize someone for his perversion is tragic, just tragic.
Well, I agree, man. And it's just like, hey, the liberal media wants to say that it's just more than acceptable that Matthew Shepard was living a peaceable homosexual lifestyle.
Of course.
Oh, man, he was such a great guy.
Yeah, he's their poster child. He's their saint.
And he was an all-American boy.
Yeah, Saint Matthew of Assisi.
Yeah, he was the same guy that delivered your paper down the street. The only difference between was, you know, whenever he'd look at another guy, he'd get a weird look on his face.
Come on, Darryl.
I'm sorry, man, but it's the truth.
You're grossing me out.
Oh, man, I know.
My board operator looked like he was going to throw up.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I looked at my wife and I said, honey, this is making me sick. So the first thing I did, I switched off the channel and I called the TV station. I said, man, how can you, and this was broadcast out of Notre Dame, a supposedly Christian center, you know, and out of South Bend around Notre Dame. And I said, hey, you guys are supposedly Christian. What are you carrying such filth for? It's not bad enough that they got Will and Grace on TV, but now they got, you know, Matthew Shepard on.
Free Will and Saving Grace?
Yeah.
What show is that?
Oh, man, I got no idea, but I've heard all about it. I ain't never watched it. It's that Will and Grace.
Will and Grace.
Yeah, Will and Grace. It's a pro-homosexual show.
What primetime show is not?
Oh, boy, you got a point.
You know, the homosexuals say the reason they commit suicide at a rate of 80 times higher than heterosexuals is because of all the public condemnation of them.
Oh, well, that's just too bad.
Have they ever turned into primetime TV? Every primetime comedy show, every primetime show, homosexuals are elevated. If there's one guy in the series who never lies, who's always faithful, it's the homo.
It's the homosexual.
And if there's a child molester or a freak, he's a member of the clergy.
Yeah, I've figured,
Christians,
you know, pretty soon, Bob, I would imagine that they're going to have a pedophilia hour probably on ABC or something.
Well,
and they're going to make a comedy out of it.
Right, that's what they started to do with homosexuals. That's how they did it 15 years ago in the media. First, they introduced homosexuality and made people gag, and then they made people laugh, making jokes about homosexuals, and then pretty soon that people were accepting them.
And, you know, the one thing I got to ask, you know, Americans, you know, Christians, stand up, turn off the TV, write a letter, tell them we're not going to stand for it. And I saw one of the most repulsive things, I believe, on TV the other day. You know, a man was saying how proud he is of his gay son.
Yeah, right.
I'm
Darryl,
proud of
okay.
my gay son.
Darryl, thank you for telling us all this.
God almighty.
He is almighty.
Yeah, and he's the only one that's going to be able to deliver him from that lifestyle.
Thank you, Darryl.
Yep.
God bless you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, the Boy Scouts, this is according to the Washington Times, that at least 39 United Way affiliates around the country, like United Way of Denver, for example, you know, an affiliate, the United Way has cut off their funding for the Boy Scouts because the Boy Scouts don't allow homosexual scoutmasters. Now, homosexuals don't become scoutmasters to keep their eyes off of little boys. The first day I was on the radio, the first day ever I had my own talk show, 1991, KLTT Radio in Denver, Colorado, mid-afternoon show. I was doing public relations for a Denver manufacturing firm. And the people in the company knew that I was getting a talk show. So people in the company turned on the show. And coincidentally, that day, we were talking about homosexual scoutmasters because there was a story in the paper about a scoutmaster that molested boys. And guess what? Every scoutmaster who has ever molested a child in the history of the Boy Scouts was a homo. Everyone. Every scoutmaster who ever molested a Boy Scout, everyone was a homo. Every single one. Look up the definition of homosexual. Everyone was a homo. I came back to work from doing that one-hour talk show, and the purchasing agent for the manufacturing company, he came into my office. I'm the public relations guy. Put out press releases and all. He came in and he said, Bob, I haven't told anyone this, but I want to tell you, 15 years ago, I was a Boy Scout, and our scoutmaster on a camping trip tried to molest me. He said, I've never told anyone. I was so disgusted and ashamed and sick. So I asked him to give me that guy's name. He gave me the name. I called the Boy Scouts and alerted them to this sexual predator, homosexual Boy Scout master. Well, here we have in the Boy Scouts, the courage, like last month, the Four Lakes Council of the Boy Scouts of America in Madison, Wisconsin, they walked away from $75,000 of funding for the United Way because they said we will not cave in on our policy against homosexual scoutmasters. Isn't that neat? You know, the Boy Scouts are acting more like men than have the Republicans. The Republicans, they shake in their boots. They quiver with fear when someone suggests that they take a stand against homosexuality. They're scared to death. During the presidential elections, the Boy Scouts were under siege all over the country. Public libraries were not allowing them to meet. United Way is cutting off funding. Entire cities like San Francisco were putting sanctions against the Boy Scouts. What a time for Republican candidates, conservative Christian leaders to speak out in defense of mom and America and apple pie and the Boy Scouts and say, this is wrong. We need to defend the Boy Scouts because they're trying to help young men build lives of character. But there was only silence. Because so many of our political conservative Christian leaders are afraid of the homosexuals. They're either afraid to speak out against them, or somehow they've been seduced by the lie that our society needs to tolerate homosexuality. For how many years was homosexuality against the law? How many years? In Judeo-Christian history. Well, let's start with Moses and put it at 3,500 years. Our founding fathers, when Thomas Jefferson was governor of Virginia, and he was a liberal. Back then, homosexuality was a crime. Now, he's a liberal, and liberals are wackos. And he introduced a bill that said homosexuals that are convicted should be castrated. Now, that's ridiculous. But he's a liberal, and liberals are ridiculous. But now the Christian leaders have agreed with Hillary and Hollywood and the homosexuals that homosexuality needs to be legal and tolerated and accepted and respected. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.